Or how about the kamikaze pilot that flew 13 missions? It's all right, you'll get it in a few minutes. Okay, all right. Paul says that we are to live with a sense of urgency. That doesn't mean living faster. That doesn't mean living busier lives. But with an awareness that there is no promise for tomorrow. You realize that, don't you? We are not promised tomorrow. We're only given each day, and each day is a gift. Life is fragile. People are dying every day of heart attacks. I see the nurses among us, and I see the healthcare workers among us, and you see people in nursing homes and hospitals. They die every day. I had two die yesterday, not unexpectedly, but they still died. Who's going to be next? Yesterday is gone, so why worry about yesterday? We cannot relive it. We cannot live life looking in the rearview mirror. We've got to be looking out the windshield. We've got to be looking at today, what's in front of us. And we really can't even worry about tomorrow. God's grace has taken care of our past. And God's providence will take care of our future. And this enables us to live in the now. We have all that we have is now. All that we have is today. And the Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So the first challenge of this study is to live with a sense of urgency. Seize today, folks. Enjoy the time that you have today. Seize the moment, as Robin Williams used to say in the movie Dead Poets Society. Do what you can today. Live with a sense of urgency, for there is no promise of tomorrow. You got it? Okay. The second challenge, write this down. Live with a sense of eternity. Live with a sense of eternity. Embrace today, of course, but remember, today is not all there is. Some believe that at death we cease to exist. A lot of faiths teach that, or they teach that you come back as something else, a cockroach or a bird or a tree or something. The Bible is very clear that we're going to live forever, and we need to think about eternity. Paul talks about it in terms of salvation. Salvation. He says, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. He talks about having been saved. Saved meaning that that was a past event, something that took place in the past, a specific time, an event. He also says in other letters that we are being saved. Being saved. John Wesley would call that sanctification. Growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And then he also talks about salvation in the future. Our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. It is a future event also. You could use it interchangeably with eternity. We are closer to eternity today than we were yesterday. We are rushing headlong towards eternity. We are all terminal, but we must be prepared. We must be ready. For you see, there's no second chance once we die, being ready to meet eternity. The Bible is very clear in Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed once for humans to die, and then the judgment. How are we to live? How are we to live in that with that sense of eternity? 1 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. What does Paul mean by that? Well, how are we spending our time? How are we spending our money? Are we constantly seeking more stuff? Are we constantly seeking more things, material things? You see, everything on earth, everything that is material will be destroyed. Everything that is tangible will rust or decay or be burned or somehow deteriorate. Paul is telling us to focus not so much on the material, but the what? The eternal. Not the temporal, but the eternal. Things that we cannot see. Living with a sense of urgency, embracing today, is a gift from God. But also, we should live with a sense of eternity, to be prepared to meet Jesus, to be prepared to live eternally with God. That's the second challenge. The third challenge and the final challenge is live with a sense of priority. Priority. Let me ask that question again. If you only had 30 days, think about that, 4 weeks to live, how would you spend that time? With one eye on eternity and one eye on today, now how do we prioritize how we're going to live those 30 days? Paul has some suggestions here in this scripture. Look at verse 12. This is on the back of your bulletin too. Paul says, "The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove or take off your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living." Maybe Paul is saying we need to take some things off. He uses the analogy of taking clothes off and putting clothes on. Well, what kinds of things do we need to take off? What kinds of things do we need to remove from our lives? What about that frantic, hectic lifestyle that we all seem to be living these days? Why not slow down? Why not look at our to-do lists and our calendars and start thinning things out a little bit? What's really important? Stephen Covey in his 7 Habits of Highly Effective People says, you know, there's the important and the unimportant, the urgent and the non-urgent, and things that can wait. How are we prioritizing our lives? What if we knew we were going to die? Would we hurry up and get more things done and fill our calendars up even more before the deadline? Or would we slow down, downsize, eliminate some things, take off some things? You see, a hurried spirit is incompatible with abundant life. What would you take off? What would you eliminate from your life? What could you get rid of? I do a lot of funerals working with Keith Parcell, and I have yet to find a U-Haul trailer behind any of those hearses. We can't take it with us. We need to downsize. But then what are we to put on? Paul also says, put on the shining armor of right living. What do you think he's talking about there? I'd like to think that he's telling us to put more emphasis on things that cannot be seen, like relationships. God is all about relationships. You see, the most important relationship we have is with the eternal God. I like to use the shape of a cross to remind us that God is the most important thing. Our relationship with God is most important. But then if you look at the cross, there's a horizontal piece, isn't there? And that horizontal piece represents what? Represents the people on earth, the people that we know and love, the people of God, our church, our families, our co-workers and our neighbors and our friends, the people that we interact with all the time. Our material things are temporal. That is, that they will disappear. They will rot and decay. But people are eternal. Think about that. We're going to spend eternity together forever as followers of Christ, as believers in Jesus Christ, and who have the hope of eternal life. Paul is telling us to put more focus on God and relationships with others than on material things. Jesus was all about noticing people, wasn't he? Jesus spent time in the streets and in the synagogues and in the homes of people. He noticed people. He noticed the little tax collector up a sycamore tree one day as he was making his way to some place. And he said, "Come on down out of that tree, Zacchaeus. I'm going to have dinner with you today." He noticed the woman at the well when he stopped to get a drink of water, but he had no bucket. He noticed, in talking to her, and knew more about her than she realized. He noticed and knew that she had five husbands, had had five husbands. Jesus noticed the sick in the streets. He noticed the poor. He noticed the hungry, the homeless. Jesus took notice of the children. How many people are we neglecting in our daily lives? How many people do we see having a difficult time just opening a door? Or a handicapped person that's maybe struggling trying to do something and you don't offer a helping hand? Somebody broke down alongside the road. Do they need a hand? Do they need help? How much trouble is it to send a thank you card or a thinking of you card? Noticing people. How many people do we ignore in our daily lives? Jesus noticed people. People are a priority. I don't know about you, but my priorities are God first, family second, and I'm trusting God to take care of everything else. Now, you may not have your... In fact, one of the first exercises in the book this week is setting your priorities and what they are now, and then maybe what they should be. God first, family second, and I'm going to trust God with everything else. The challenge this week is how we will make relationships a priority. Those of you that have signed up for small groups are going to get to know some new people. Some of our small groups have new people in them. Get to know them. Get to know each other. In the back of your book, there's a place to write down their names, addresses, and email addresses and phone numbers. Stay in touch with one another. What a great way to get to know and to build relationships. And we're encouraging you to do things outside the small group. Get together for dinner. Go out for pizza. Enjoy some time outside of the small group setting. This is how the church grows, is interactions of people in small groups. Who will you connect with in the coming weeks? Who do you need to call? Have you called your mother or your dad lately? If you are blessed enough to still have yours. Have you hugged your kids lately? Have you told your wife or your husband or your significant other that you love them? Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Tomorrow may be too late. I try not to leave the house each morning without saying to Pat, I love you. And to go to bed at night without saying, I love you. Because you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow morning or not. You don't know if you're going to make it home from work or not. Love your loved ones. In closing, remember this. This study is more about today than tomorrow. This experience we're about to take is more about people than it is possessions. Living like you were dying is more about God's priorities than our plans and our will. Living like you were dying is about more about eternity than the temporal. Folks, the clock is ticking. Time is running out. What will your priorities be today, tomorrow, and beyond? Father, we thank you for reminding us of how fragile this life is. And Lord, we're praying that you will speak to all of our hearts and minds through this study, whether we're in groups or whether we're reading along or whether we're just listening to the sermons. Lord God, this experience will be transformative, I know. All of us need to change different things in our lives and to draw closer to you. Help us, Lord, in these coming 4 weeks to truly live life to the fullest, one day at a time, living like we were dying. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.